Shall we now turn to the Gospel of Luke, Gospel according to Luke chapter 15, and we shall read from verse 1. Gospel of Luke chapter 15, you'll find it on page 1048 of the Church Bible. Gospel of Luke chapter 15, verse 1 onward. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. The title this morning is, How Good Are the Good? How Good Are the Good? The Lord Jesus Christ, by his teaching and living, showed that he came for the sinners. Heaven rejoices, he said, when one sinner repents and turns back. He compares the sinner to a lost sheep or a lost coin. A sinner is a lost person. Lost. A lost person is doomed for hell. But when a sinner repents, there is joy. Joy within that person and joy in heaven. Another thing that the Lord Jesus Christ teaches is that the one who has lost the sheep or the coin goes all out in search for the lost. He leaves the rest and goes all out of his way seeking and searching to find the lost. And he does so until he finds it. And then when the lost is found, there's great rejoicing. Actually, it is announced. This person tells everyone that the lost is found, and those that hear about it are called to rejoice. This parable educates us on the character of God. It brings out for us to see the heart of Jesus, the attitude of Jesus, the attributes of Jesus. He seeks for the lost soul. He leaves everything behind and goes in search of the lost souls. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left his heavenly glory and came to save sinners. He left behind all his heavenly privileges and became a servant in order to save us who are lost sinners. He in fact gave his life for our salvation. This is such an extraordinary, awesome story of God. Luke chapter 15 verse 10 says, Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. Now, as the narrative of chapter 15 of the Gospel of Luke continues, Jesus Christ speaks about two sons. He speaks about the two sons. Verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger one demands to have freedom of his own. Look at verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And the father divided unto them. He divided unto both of them. Mind you, not only gave the younger chap his things, but he divided unto them his living. So the father divided unto them his living. He divided between them both his portion, his allotment. And the younger chose to go out of the sight of his father. He goes his own way. He did not want any supervision or any help or suggestion or any boundaries that his father has set upon him. He wanted to cut all ties from his father. You are an old guy. You don't understand me. I'm a young. We are in the new generation. We are modern people. You will never be able to come to our level. That's what he was saying. You keep your rules, your dignity or whatever with yourself. I can take care of myself. Typically a young person. You see that? So, he wanted to break the boundaries that his father had set for him. He obviously had the attitude, my life is my body, my life, my body. You don't tell me what I should do with my body. I will do what I want to do with my life. But at whose cost? At the cost of his father, he takes half of the inheritance or whatever is given to him which belonged to his father and goes out to have his freedom. But this younger son, after having done all the wrong that he could do, where he went to enjoy and to be free, he realized that it has brought him to the level of a pig. To the level of a sow. Jesus tells us that he spent all his money with righteous living. Verse 13, that is. The word righteous means to live a wild life. A wild life. He abandoned himself to vice and corruption. He indulged himself shamelessly in immoral conduct. He gave into overspending for fun and pleasure. He believed that life is about eating and drinking and having fun. And then suddenly there was a famine in that part of the land, and soon he could not find a job nor food. And suddenly he was reduced to a man who found a job to look after pigs and eat the things that pigs ate. There are many who wait till this kind of thing happens to them, and only then do they think about God. Only then do they think about returning to what they call religion. Until then, all the good things that the Lord God asks them to do and live by seems nonsense, irrelevant. Everything that they hear about God, His wisdom, His laws, His power, His correction, His warning, His boundaries, His love, His justice, everything of God and His Son Jesus Christ is considered as a myth. It is not for me. It is for weak people, people who are weak. I'm sure you were like that before coming to Christ. I was certainly like that. All of us are like this young man. This young man realized, repented, and turned to go to his loving father. When will this happen to you? Will you continue to act like this young man? Some of us never grow old. We are always young, even when we are 80 and 90. Hello, young man, we say, isn't it, to a man who is 80? Yes, we all like to be young and do the same thing what we did as teenagers. Now perhaps you are thinking that you are like that other brother of his. You are like the other brother, a good person. Let us see how good this person was. The younger man came back to his father. He said, look at verse 21. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. They began to enjoy this man's return, homecoming. This is what happens when one sinner returns back to God. There is rejoicing in heaven. And look, there was rejoicing in this house. Well, were rest of the people happy to have him back? Look, even his father's servants were happy. How do we know that? Verse 24 tells us they began to be merry. There was joy. Let us now look at the reaction of the older brother or the first son. Verse 25. Now his eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. He has received him safe and sound. The servant is happy. Why is the servant happy? The servant tells this first son of his master, there is music and dancing and banquet because your brother is come and your father has received him safe and sound. Your brother, who was thought to be dead, dead in his trespasses, dead in his sinfulness, dead in his soul, dead in his character. He was lost, but now he has returned. They all began to be merry. This brother of yours has returned safe and sound. The father is happy, the servants are happy, and they are celebrating the return of the dead son. They are celebrating the return of the man who was gone out of sight, to be lost, but now he's come alive. He was unclean, but now he's clean. He was under the spirit of witchcraft, but now is set free and come back to live in the spirit of God. And many times, the servants in the house and the friends of his father must have seen the anguish and pain in his father's eyes, in this man's eyes. And surely they felt with him. They grieved with him. But now they are happy. They are happy to see his son come back. But look how this supposedly good son reacted when his father, when his brother, the wasteful, shameless, rebellious brother returned and it was told to him. Let us see how he reacts. Verse 28. When it was told to him, he was angry. He was angry. Verse 28. And he was angry and would not go in. He would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. How did this good young man react? He was angry. He was provoked. He was filled with wrath. Probably he wanted to go and beat this brother up. He was moved with hatred towards his younger brother. According to his belief, his brother did not deserve the homecoming. He surely remembered all the bad things about this evil brother. His sense of justice did not feel any compassion towards his brother. He had no pity towards this evil brother. He was only looking at his own goodness. He was measuring his brother with his own goodness. He was comparing his goodness with his brother's immorality. And here we ask the question, what was his goodness? What was his goodness, this older brother, this first son? What was his goodness? When his father came to call him in and tried to make him understand, he in his anger said to his father and enumerated, gave an account grudgingly to his father all about his goodness. Verse 29. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. I did not break your commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, a lamb, a sheep, or whatever, to have fun, make merry with my friends. Verse 30. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. What was this man doing? When he began to give the list of his good works, he began to compare himself with his brother. His brother was bad and he was good. But the goodness that he had no compassion towards the needy soul, the lost soul, the struggling soul, the captive soul. He had no understanding of the souls that are in chain of Satan. Satan's chain and are under the influence of Satan. He had no understanding. He never gave any thought to it. We can clearly see that this man had no idea what it means to be freed from sin. He had no idea what it means to return to God and to taste the forgiveness of God, to be washed of his sins by God. He had no idea what it means to be dressed by the new garments of the Holy Spirit. The Father had ordered that this young man, the sinner man, be cleansed, be washed, and given a new robe, and given a ring. This means this Father made a covenant with him. A covenant. He reconciled his son with him. He embraced him. Why? Because this sinner man truly repented of his sins. He truly realized that he was a terrible sinner. The older brother had no clue of all this. He had no idea what grace means. He had no idea of the joy that forgiveness brings. He had no idea of what it means to be received. Why? Why? This was because he believed in his own goodness. He was proud of his own good works. He was filled with pride, therefore he refrained from having anything from his father. He refrained. Lo, these many years do I serve thee. I never transgressed at any time your commandments, and you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But soon as this thy son come back, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. This man never considered himself to be a sinner. I can manage. I don't need grace. I am capable of winning my way to heaven. And yet now he complained, saying, you never gave me a kid. You never gave me a sheep or a cow or whatever that I might make merry with my friends. But young man, you never asked. You never asked. You never humbled yourself. You never became meek. This older son always compared himself with his younger brother. You remember the two men who went to pray in the temple Jesus spoke about? One was a Pharisee and the other the publican, a common man, a sinner. The Pharisee pointed at the sinner. He is in the temple, he has come to pray, but he is pointing, telling God about the man standing behind him, that sinner. Look, I am not like that man, Lord. I am not like that man. He approached God comparing himself with that sinner. He came to tell God how good he is and how bad this sinner man is. He did not want to do anything with that sinner man. He boasted about his religiosity. But the sinner man would not even lift his eyes before the Lord, and he kept beating his breast and saying, Lord, I am a sinner, forgive me. The sinner man was justified. God pardoned him. And this is what is happening here in this parable. Two sons, one admitting how terribly a sinner he is. He is lost and has lost the plot. He is admitting that he is immersed in his sinfulness. He is unworthy to be his father's son. Of course, this is not what he thought before. No, he was exactly the same as the other son. And the other is telling how good he is, how worthy he is, how clean and righteous he is. He thinks he deserves to be treated like a king. He deserves to be treated like a saint. We actually see this good son questioning God's judgment and God's compassion and God's love and mercy. He's actually questioning God. You never gave me a kid that I might enjoy with my friends. I did so much good. How can you treat this sinner in the same manner? He has wasted everything and now you are treating him like a king. The immediate question we ask is this good brother good? Is he really good? Does this brother have the mind and heart of God? Does he? Does he personally know God? Does he know God's character? Does he know that God wants mercy and not sacrifice? He wants us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Does he know that? That we should love our neighbors as ourselves. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verse 33, the Lord Jesus said that we must love him, that is, love God, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our intelligence, and with all our strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself. This is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. This man was trying to get approval of his father by his own strength. He was proud that he had not taken any help from his father, that he had not taken any joy from his father. You know, there are many, many who want to go to heaven and get approval of God by saying, "I don't want your help, God. I don't want your help. I can do it. I can go to heaven by my own good deeds." And the younger brother also taught in the same manner. But he changed. He changed. What about you? Which of these two are you? Which of these two are you? Remember, the Bible is written for you and me. The parables are written for you and me. But what is the mind of God? We must know the heart of God. We must know the mind of God. Do you know the mind and character of God? God's thoughts are not our thoughts. David learned his folly. David learned his folly. He realized that by his own strength, he cannot keep himself pure and holy. He came to understand that he cannot by his strength live up to the standards of God. He failed and committed terrible sins. He committed adultery. He murdered. The Lord does not deserve sacrifices, or rather, he does not desire sacrifices, dear friends. So David said in Psalm 51, 16, "For thou desirest not sacrifices, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." How deep and how true this is, dear friends. You know, many people say, when we try to give them a tract, "Oh, I'm not religious. I'm not religious. He's superhuman. Not religious. Not like you, religious. You need God, man, not me. You know, I can manage my own self. I can offer sacrifices. I can go on pilgrimages, maybe. Or I can carry weights, lot of weights, and I can run 10 miles, whatever. I don't need, I'm not religious." God doesn't want anything of yours. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. We got to know who God is, what's his mind. You know, many times when you want to answer exam, you try to think, what is the examiner wanting you to answer? What exactly is the mind of the examiner? And if you can figure that out and give what he desires you to give, you have made it. And so it is with God. We got to know the mind of God, the heart of God. Psalm 40, Verse 6, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I desire, I delight to do thy will. The Lord says in Hosea chapter 6 verse 6, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 9 verse 13, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. It's so very important to know the mind of God. What is it that God wants from us? Jesus began his ministry of preaching and teaching by saying, repent and believe in the gospel. Repent means to change. It means to turn away from what you are, from what you think, from what you do, and begin to think like how God thinks, like how God lives, like how Jesus lived, and do what Jesus did. So, the parable of the prodigal son is not only about the prodigal son, but also about the self-righteous son. You see, to know this is very important. Very important. We can easily identify a prodigal son, isn't it? We can easily identify him. We can easily identify a wasteful, sinful, rebellious person. But to know the heart of the self-righteous person, and to understand the heart of a person who is sacrificial, engaged in good works, is hard to know his real motives. It's hard to know his real motives. In this parable, Jesus exposes the heart of the one who is engaged in good works, who is thought to be good and sacrificial. Yes, he's exposing the other man's heart also. But it is obvious, but Jesus is exposing the heart of the person who projects himself to be good. Look, he gets angry. He would not go in. He never understood what it means to repent, for he considered himself to be good without any sins. This young man never understood what it means to be forgiven. He never had the joy of being forgiven. He considered himself to be perfect, and therefore he considered himself to be superior than his brother. He did not have the mind of God. Although he believed that he is good, he was not kind. He was not compassionate. He was not gracious. He could not enter into the shoes of his younger brother. He was not patient, he was not gentle, and he did not have the love of God, neither the love of man. He did not have a forgiving heart. Which one of these two are you, dear friends? Which of these two are you? You and I either fall into the category of the first son or the second. You cannot escape. No. I think most of us fall in the category of the first son, the oldest son, or the mixture of both. In either case, we are sinners in need of salvation. The second is more subtle than the first. It is not surprising that Jesus spoke and exposed so much about the Pharisees' attitude and character and deeds. because it is subtle. People like to see people who show off what they do. They consider them, wow, great guy. He prays so well. He does this so well. He does that so well. People like to see that. But what matters, dear friend, from what motive it is coming from? So the second is more subtle than the first. It is not surprising, as I said, that Jesus constantly exposed the hearts of the Pharisees. And that is for our good, dear friend, for your sake and for my sake, that we understand our true nature. Satan appears to be an angel, good angel, angel of light, when actually he is all out to devour you and me. Now, after he had voiced his hurt feelings, the Father says to him, verse 31, and he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Thou art ever with me. All that is mine is yours. All his father's wealth was at his disposal. All that I have is thine, his father said. He could have enjoyed it, but he would not. It hurt his ego. It hurt his ego. You know, many of us treat God in this manner. I know you are God, we say, but I can manage. I know all that is yours is mine, but I can take care of myself. I am good. And then the Father emphasizes, he stresses the fact and makes it known to him. Verse 32. It was meet. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. His father rubs it into his soul. Meaning, the father was saying, it was necessary. Ah, it had to be done. What I did must be done. By law, by justice, by my very nature, it is right that we make merry, we rejoice, we become glad. For this brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. I save those that repent. I save those that come to understanding and beg for forgiveness. I must save those that put their faith in me. It is I who saves. I gave my son. I gave my son willingly, and he willingly went and laid his life that you might come back to me. This is my justice. This is my love. It has to be done. Is this son good? No. He did not know the law and the nature of God. He did not know the heart of God. He was angry. He refused to obey his father's request and pleading to come and embrace his brother who had died and is now living again. This man wanted him dead. He would have been very happy, perhaps, if he had heard that his brother is dead. Dead, living a sinful life, and is in hell now. He would. Now, when the Lord, when this father told him that, you were with me, and all that I have is thine. This must have hit this man like a bolt of lightning. Like a bolt of lightning. Remember, he was the first son. The first son becomes the immediate receiver of his father's inheritance. Now this son was trying to prove that he is worthy of his inheritance. Not because of the free gift from his father, but he was trying to prove that he is not interested in a free gift, but wants to prove himself by his strength, by his sacrifice, by his intellectual ability, that he deserves it. So that when he receives his father's inheritance, he could say, I have not received your inheritance because of your kindness and because of your legal rights bestowed on me, but because of my goodness, my hard work, because of my own making. He was carrying this negative attitude. He wanted to exalt himself and not his father. This is exactly what we do, dear friends, with God. To be sacrificial, to be intellectual, and to use your strength is good. But we must use this with right attitude. We must use this with thanksgiving, with gratitude, with meekness, and with humility. When a person does not know to receive a gift and help with gratitude and thanksgiving and meekness and humility, pride becomes the cornerstone of all that you do and achieve. This son was such a person. Therefore, anyone that did not fit in his attitude, they were not fit to live, not fit to be given any grace. Grace for such a person becomes anathema, abhorrence, and a curse. And such a heart and mind is very, very dangerous. Very dangerous. There are people I have heard where people say, I was not saved because I was a sinner. No, I was saved because I was good. I was good. I've always been good. This is blasphemy. He doesn't know God. He doesn't know himself. It is so very sad because pride ruleth his heart. We thank God that our God is so wonderful that he exposes all manner of people so that you and I, dear friends, may be humble and return to him. Yes, this young or the older brother, perhaps he would have rejoiced to see his brother dead. Is this a good son? A good brother? Not in the eyes of God. Can be in the eyes of the people. Check if you carry within you such a heart. Check if you carry within you such a mind and attitude. Whichever type of person you are, you need to repent and come to Christ and seek for forgiveness and put on the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think on these things. Shall we pray? O Lord our God, open our hearts and our minds to truly see where we stand before thee. O Lord, that we may not judge others by our own standard, but that we may judge ourselves according to thy standards, because ultimately our destination to heaven or hell will be judged by thy standards. And O Lord, give us the grace to know that we cannot come up to thy standards, and therefore we need forgiveness of thy sin. of our sins, and we need thy grace to set us free. Come, Lord Jesus, set us free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.